see, if you want to know how God would live here on earth, then all you have to look is at Jesus. Because Jesus is God made man, manifest in the flesh, living his life here on earth.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, your host, with Pastor Mark Jobes, senior pastor of New Life Community Church here in Chicago. Pastor Mark, this new series that we're in the middle of here, When You Believe, Everything Changes, has been powerful, life-changing. The book of Ephesians is such a rich, deep book, broken into two halves. The first half speaking all about our identity. The second half speaking all about the fruit that comes out of that. And today here in chapter 5, it is a very clear call to be an imitator of God. And I think a lot of times it seems like we deal with authority figures in our life who tell us what to do, but they don't lead the way. They say, go do this, go do that, but they're not, you know, we can't respect that. But God's not that way, is he?
No, and the thing about this, Joshua, is that we are now the children of God. And the entire focus of Ephesians is, now that you are, live what you are. And if you are the children of God, then stop living as children of the darkness. This is a powerful passage because it hits at the heart of one of the main challenges of our society. He goes right to the jugular vein, and he talks about the whole area of stop living even with a hint of sexual immorality. We live in a sex-saturated society in which we have embraced a culture of really lust, impurity, greed. And what God is telling us in this passage is, hey, that is not who you are anymore. Live out your new nature in Jesus Christ. You have been called children of God. Now start living it out.
Yeah, and I love how he starts verse 1. Be imitators of God. You know, it's not just don't do this. It's God's not that way. God didn't do it that way. God didn't show you that way. Imitate him.
Exactly.
Powerful. Powerful. Well, we're here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, and this message is called Choosing to Walk in the Light.
Be imitators of God. I could just pause there, stop there, and we'd have a lot to think about, right? What does it mean to be an imitator of God? Now, the Apostle Paul, in other parts of Scripture, says, imitate me. As you see how I do this work, you follow my example and imitate me. But when we hear the phrase, imitate God, how do you imitate God? I mean, how do you even start to be like God? The word in the Greek here is mimic God. Now, you can never really understand how to be like God or imitate God unless you really understand what it means to live on earth as a man. And that's exactly why we have Jesus. Because in order to understand what God would look like here on earth and how to imitate God, we need to really understand that Jesus is the incarnation of God. And in order to be like God, we look at Jesus, and as we understand how Jesus lived and walked, then we understand how God would live and walk here on earth. Are you tracking with me? He says, imitate God. Be imitators of God. And then he describes it. He says, therefore, as dearly loved children. Aha, that makes a little bit more sense, doesn't it? I mean, when you're a child of your father, your mother, just by the fact that you hang out with them and around them, you start to pick up their mannerisms. You start to talk a little bit like they talk and walk a little bit like they walk. And you do things the way they do things. I have three children. I have an 18-year-old daughter, Marissa. She's in her first year in college. I have a 16-year-old son, Josiah. He's a junior in high school. And I have an 11-year-old that's in sixth grade, Grant. And each one of them, in certain ways or another, they've picked up things from us. That's just the way it is. People say to me, I've had several people say to me, hey, your daughter walks just like you. She just walks like you. Now, I'm not sure exactly if that's good or bad, but she walks like me. And I never sat down with my daughter and I said, honey, this is how you walk. Here, do this and walk like this. I never did that. She just sort of biologically and just being a part of a family, she picks up certain mannerisms. So she walks a certain way that is a little bit like the Job walk. When she was about 2 years old, I'll never forget this. I walked in on her in the living room and she was sitting on the couch and she had a big, I think it was a catalog in front of her, and it was a big thing on her little lap there, big book. And she was imitating what she had seen her mother do, my wife do. And she was licking her finger like this. And then she was turning the page with the other hand and going like this. And now she had the licking of the finger, right? She just had it on the wrong hand, okay? But she was imitating what she had seen her mother do. Why? Because her mother's her mother, and she looks up to her mother, hangs out with her mother, and so therefore she starts doing the things like her mother does. I know you've seen the bracelet that says WWJD. What would Jesus do? And that's a reminder of how would Jesus live here on earth and what would Jesus do if you were in a situation like ours. But I have to be honest with you, when I first started out in the pastoring when I was 21 years old, everything was really new to me. I was encountering situations where I was, as a 20-year-old young man, I had to sit down with couples in their 40s that were looking at a divorce and try to counsel them. I had to pray for people in situations that I've never been in before, and I was faced with certain circumstances that felt like, whoa, I've never done this, never been there, I'm not really sure how to handle this. And I remember that, you see, my father, he was a church planting missionary in Spain, and a little bit of a maverick, so to speak, cowboy boots, leather jacket, rode a horse to do Bible studies, motorcycle guy. He actually rode a BMW 900 all the way through Mexico doing some evangelistic crusades. And so he was this guy that started things and had a real faith, whatever it takes to do this for God, we'll go out and do it. And I remember when I first started out here, I know it would have been more spiritual to ask myself, what would Jesus do? But to be honest with you, when I was sitting in front of a couple that's twice my age, looking at a divorce, I remember what I'd ask myself this question. What would my bracelet would have been WWDD? What would Dad do? And I would think, okay, what would Dad do in a situation like this? And so I would think, well, he would start this way. And it would help me figure out the situation because I had seen him at work. I had seen him in action. Why? Because he's my dad. And I, in certain ways, wanted to be like him and emulate him and imitate him. And here's the thing. Paul says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. Because your heavenly Father is your Father, and you have this close-knit relationship with Him, then start to act like children of God. Start to behave as children of your Father above. And he goes on to say, listen, he says, be imitators of God. The word in the Greek is mimic, is where we get the word mimic from. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Verse 2, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He says, be imitators of God, but if you really want to know what God would look like here on earth, then look at God's firstborn son, Jesus. The Bible refers to him as the firstborn among many brethren. And if you want to look at what God would look like here on earth, you look at Jesus and you begin to imitate the way Jesus walked and talked and behaved. And one of the things that characterized Jesus is this incredible concern and passion and caring for people that we call love. And so you want to see how God would be here on earth? You look at Jesus. By the way, Jesus has always been God, never became God. He's always been God from the beginning. When I say firstborn, I don't mean that there was a time in creation where God was there and decided to have a son. The Bible's clear about since the very beginning of time, God has always existed as a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There has never been a God that wasn't God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Son has existed from eternity past. The Father has, and the Holy Spirit. They are one God, but a triune God. Difficult to understand, but yet that's the nature of how they've always existed. And so Paul says, what's happening here is that some of you are children of God, yet you are acting as though you're children of somebody else. And by the way, let me say that there's a misnomer. Some people refer to everybody. They say, well, we're all children of God. How many of you have heard that statement? We're all children of God. And I understand the meaning behind, but the truth of it is, from a biblical perspective, we're not all children of God. We're all God's creation. But only those that have been born of God are children of God. The Bible refers to that we are born physically, but then there's a moment in time later on in our life where we are born spiritually of God, where the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, Jesus becomes Lord of our life, the Holy Spirit starts changing us from the inside out, and at that moment we become children of God. Up until that time we are creation of God, after that time we are children of God. So not everybody on the face of this earth is a child of God, so to speak. We are all God's creation, but only some are literally, as the Bible defines it, children of God. And if you are children of God, Paul says now that you're children of God, I want you to start to live out like children of God. And he begins to describe what it looks like to live as a child of God, to be imitators of God. And I've broken this down into really, as you begin to reflect God, here's four things you need to understand about becoming an imitator of God or living like a child of God. First of all, it's found in verses 3-4. It has to do with our identity. And if you're taking notes, write this down. Your desires and your speech should reflect your new identity and be consistent with your new calling.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Choosing to Walk in the Light, which is from our series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and our message is called Choosing to Walk in the Light.
Verse 3 says, but among you, there must be not even the hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity or foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather giving thanks. So the first thing that Paul says is, hey, if you are going to be an imitator of God, then one of the things that needs to be in place is that your desires and your speech need to be like God. They need to reflect God. My brother and I are about 22 months apart. He's a little older than I. He's the artist. He's an independent filmmaker. And so he's got, you know, the spiky hair and the earrings and everything that artists do. But he's a strong believer, though. Loves Jesus, and he's the artist guy. But even now, when I talk to my mother over the phone, she lives in Spain, I call her up, I say, hi, Mom. The first question she asks, is this Bob or is this Mark? Because our voices, our intonation, our voices are a lot alike. And why? Because we had the same father and mother, and so our speech is similar. Why? Because we come from the same family. And have you ever noticed that certain families, they pronounce certain words the same way? and mispronounce certain words the same way. Why? Because they're part of the same family. So you start talking like the family talks and you have expressions like the family has expressions. Well, Paul is saying if you belong to God, you need to start talking like God would talk. If you belong to God, then you need to start living like God would live. You need to start living like children of God. And the first thing he hits on the whole issue of sexual desires. Notice what he says. He says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's people. So he tackles, first of all, our desires. He talks about sexual desires. He says, among you, now that you're children of God, now that you're part of God's people, and if you're going to reflect God, then there needs not even to be a hint of sexual immorality. Well, what does that mean? Well, first of all, let me go on record of saying, you know this if you've been around here for a while, I want you to understand that God loves sex. That sex was God's invention, that sex is a good thing, that it's not, sometimes we hear in the church, no, 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 bad, 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 don't, and we get this idea that sex must have been the invention of the devil because it must be a bad thing. But I want to tell you that God is the author and creator of sex. We are pro-sex in this church, by the way. We love sex. Seriously. Some of you, I said, Pastor, I'm not really sure if I should clap or not about that. Here's the thing. Why? Because God invented it, and it is to be enjoyed. It is to be experienced. It is to be completely indulged upon in the certain boundaries, and that those boundaries are called marriage, in which one man and one woman commit to one another and say, we are committed to this monogamous relationship in fidelity, and we will get to know each other. And part of the expression of oneness will be sexual intimacy and emotional intimacy, and we will enjoy it. And this will be part of our existence and part of our time together. Listen, if you're a married couple and you are not having sex together on a regular basis, then there's some issues you need to deal with. Seriously. The husbands are saying, honey, I've been telling you, honey. Preach it, Pastor. I never buy any tapes. I'm going to buy that tape now. Now, I don't want to meddle too much, guys, but, you know, if you're treating her like dirt throughout the week and expect her on Friday night to say, honey, the bed is full of petals and the pillow is fluffed up, come. And that's not going to happen. But that's a whole nother conversation I'm not going to get into right now. But the bottom line is that God is the author of sexuality. God is the one that has created it to be pleasurable both for men and women. And it's part of God's plan. However, anything outside of God's plan, when it says immorality, it's talking about when you are a single person having sex with another single person. The Bible calls that fornication. It even sounds kind of ee, right? Fornication. That's King James language. And that is outside of God's will. If you're a married individual having sexual relationship outside of your marriage, that's called adultery. And that is also completely out of God's will. If you're someone that's, the word actually here that he talks about, where he says, let there be no hint of immorality. The word immorality here in the Greek is porneia. It's where we get the word pornography from. And it's any kind of sexual activity that is outside the confines of marriage and outside of the boundaries of marriage. He says, there shouldn't even be a hint of this among you. Now, let me simply say, when I say that, I know that we live in a culture that absolutely 100% indulges in every kind of sexual activity. And we live in a culture, when I talk to a 22-year-old young man, and I say to that 22-year-old man, hey, If you're going to be a follower of Jesus and embrace the values of Jesus, then you are choosing chastity until you get married. That sometimes I get the reaction of, what? Are you serious? Absolutely, I'm serious. I didn't write it, I preach it, but I didn't write it. Remember that. So God is saying it's a big deal to me that if you are a single individual, that you get ingrained into your mind that I will not indulge in any kind of sexual activity until I say I do at an altar and I am committed to that woman beside me, and then, hey, let go, let the party begin. But until that, it is chastity. Now, we live in a culture, when you go to any college campus, or for that matter, most high schools, we live in a culture in which friends with benefits is sort of an understood terminology, which basically means, hey, we hang out now, we're friends, but we live in a culture now where I can be friends with you and not really like you, you're not my boyfriend, but we'll engage in some sexual activity. Why? Just because it feels good. Nothing, it's just a one-night deal, or, you know, it can be oral sex or whatever, anything in between. But we just go, do it, we're just friends, nothing. Are you dating? No, he's just a friend. But friends with benefits is the big thing nowadays. College campuses are full of them, high schools are full of them, and even junior highs are start going in that direction. It's the whole idea of, hey, you do me a favor, I'll do you a favor, we'll feel good a little bit, we don't have to be dating, we're not committed, we're not into this, don't call me later, don't expect a love note, don't think that you're my boyfriend or anything, we're just friends that happen to give each other a few benefits on the side. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Don't look at me like, Pastor, really? That's the culture of the day. It wasn't that far. It wasn't that different in the days that Paul was writing to the Ephesian believers. In the city of Ephesus, there was a temple called the Temple of Diana, in which there was a whole bunch of temple prostitutes. And these temple prostitutes, part of going to this temple was that people would get drunk and then engage in sexual orgies at the temple. So you can imagine church attendance was pretty high those days, because this was, hey, get drunk, come here, have an orgy, have sex with the temple priestess prostitute at the temple. And it was ingrained in the society. It was widespread in the society, just like it is today. Now, if you are a Christian young woman or young man, a single person right now, I'm going to tell you that one of the greatest challenges that you are going to face today is maintaining your sexual purity. That's going to be a huge challenge to every single person that's here, especially for the singles. It's a challenge to the married individuals as well, but it's a challenge to the singles, especially the younger singles that are here. Because culture, by and large, is saying, hey, it's a free-for-all, do whatever you want. It's just part of the culture. Everybody's shacking up together, living together, doing this. It's just kind of how things roll. And what Paul is telling the believers is that may be true of the culture that's out there. But now that you are children of God, there's a different culture. That's not your culture. You are children of God, so now you're like your Father above. And by the way, can I just explain this? Don't try to make people that aren't Christians live like Christians. He's talking to Christians here, not to non-Christians. If I think too many Christians try to make non-Christians behave like Christians before they have the Spirit of God inside of them. Don't try to make someone more moral. You know, I never go down this road. If I run into a couple and they're in their 20s and they're living together, they've been living together for a few years, I don't say, you're living together? Oh. Well, do you know that's really wrong? You need to, get out from living. I don't say that. They're living together, not believers. I like, okay. What I want them to know is I want them to know Jesus. When they're not a believer, I expect them to live like pagans. You're not a believer, you live like a pagan. You're not a believer, you live like someone that doesn't know Jesus. So if you're not a believer and you're living together, doing whatever, I expect you to live that way. That's sort of part of the culture. And I don't say, well, stop living together and stop saying the this word and that word. I don't try to change people's language. I don't try to get them to not live together. I try to introduce them to Jesus. I want them to know Jesus. Now, once they've met Jesus and the Holy Spirit is inside of them, and and they're children of God now, I want them to start living like children of God. But don't try to make your pagan neighbors live like Christians when they're not Christians yet. Hello?
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe in Chicago at our main campus, New Life Midway, with his message entitled Choosing to Walk in the Light. It's from his current series called When You Believe, Everything Changes. Join us on the next edition of Straight Talk for the second half. Have you downloaded our free Straight Talk app yet? There you can download a free copy of this message as well. You'll find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. We have some great messages on family, relationships, and how to grow in your spiritual walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD, you can also contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. Why don't you join us at New Life Midway, where you can hear Pastor Mark in person at either 9:30 a.m. or 11:30 a.m. at 5101 South Keeler near Midway Airport. If you're on the train, it's the Orange Line with the Pulaski stop. Well, that's it for us on the Straight Talk team. Thank you so much for joining us again. On behalf of Pastor Mark and all of us, have a great evening and God bless.